on his ball.
No, no. Didn't have to listen to one of these.
That's a
high sign. I'm telling you now, it functions better when they're shooting missiles at you than doing and make this kind of noise. This noise gets into my kishkes. So. All right, so we said yesterday that if a person knows what he's doing and knows why he's in this world, he understands he has a unique mission in his unique world. And by the way, the Mesillas Yesharim is Madai. Mesillas Yesharim says a person has to know Macha Vosa Ba'olamo. It's in the singular. What's his? Here, what's his job in his world? Doesn't say in the world. Singular. You have to know what you're doing in your world.
Well,
I don't have to know what I'm doing in your world. I know what I'm doing in my world. What's my unique mission in this world? Let him die in the Mesillas Yesharim. And as we said, an adult is not jealous of when a little three-year-old gets a toy truck. Because they're not for sure, love. That's not my world. And one three-year-old is jealous of another three-year-old when the three-year-old gets a truck because he thinks it has something to do with him. It also has nothing to do with him. But if he thinks it does, an adult knows that a three-year-old's truck has nothing to do with him, hopefully. And therefore he's not jealous. The chutz me'atchum shelo. Hatanavin yesebiu es divrei chazal ha'imrim sheha Kinder moitze sade milala mir na ilam kleme she moitze is an top ilama ya pnimi shloi. But another dimension in the pshat in the Mishnah that says that kinder is one of the three things that takes a person out of the world. Which world? He's in a world. Instead of you being secure and balanced in your inner world, knowing who you are, knowing what your job in the world is, and understanding you have everything you need, in a place of equilibrium, you start getting jealous what happens, it takes out of your world. You're now living in other people's worlds. You're looking, you're going, it takes you out of your inner equilibrium. He's lost the feelings of truth. In his world, he doesn't need anything more. He has everything he needs. I have everything I need right now. So when I start wanting something that's out of my world, I've lost the truth sense as well. Because it's a shekel that I need this and I need this and I have to have that. That's what Kenneth says. Kenneth says, I also need that. No, you don't. So Kenneth is shayrist in shekel. To do your unique job, you don't need what this guy's got. In his world, everything's fine. Everything's been duped the way it's supposed to be. He's just got to get on with the job. Going and wanting what somebody else has got completely confuses your path. You forget what you're living for. Apostle Kovei Verekev Atzomois Kina. Disintegration, what's the word?
Rotting.
Rotting, yeah, I don't like it here. It's a rotten word. Rikvon, it's rotting, yeah, in Malasot. Okay. Of the bones is kina. No, there's another word, I just can't remember it. Nite netzaref rayoin chashuv binyanze. We need to add one more very important idea here. Hatzomus Ramoza is la atzmiut ha'adam. In the world of the Medaktikim, atzomos, bones, are from the same loshen, the same sherish as atzmiut, independence, yourself, your unique self. Lenekudas ha be'etzem sheloi. What's etzem? When you talk about your etzem, be'etzem sheloi. What's the bottom line? Be'etzem, the bottom line is the, oh, it's loshen bones. Interesting, huh? What have bones got to do with what my essence is? Vehine, kashe Adam nitpas lerege shakina, humabed es anakuda atzmi shaloi. What's this pasuk saying? Vereke vatzomo is kina. The disintegration, the rotting of the bones is jealousy, mama.
Jealousy, what's bone? From the core.
What? Yeah, but I just want to get the question here. What is Shlomo Melech talking about? The rotting of your bones is jealousy.
That is what rots your bones.
One second, I'm trying to get the question clear. The pasuk makes absolutely no sense. It's ludicrous.
What do you mean?
Rotting of bones is jealousy. Well, thank you very much. We've all got the answer because we've been learning the right subjects. But you tell anybody, go up to the student, ask him anybody, what does it mean? Your bones rotting is jealousy. You want to explain that one to me grammatically? It doesn't make any sense.
Could be that.
You're answering the question? I'm asking the question. Make the question bigger. Don't answer
bigger?
It. When you have a question, make the question bigger.
That you don't see nonsense in the pasuk.
Yeah, the pasuk doesn't make any sense. Excellent. So that's what we understand now. We all got the answer because we've been learning it for the last few months. If the word etzem, bones, is it atzmius, verekev atzmus, it's talking about yourself, your inner essence. That comes from jealousy. When you get jealous, you lose who you are. You might bet it yourself. He loses the feelings of his unique shlichus. I have a special mission to do. The guy from yesterday is the plumber on the building site. When he starts looking over his shoulder and he sees this guy's driving a fork truck and this guy's got, you know, he forgot that he's a plumber. He forgot what his essence is. He forgot what machavos and balama. In place of his sense of who he is and knowing what he's in the world for, that gets replaced by all sorts of confusing and negative external factors. When we can't kotzra derech l'shabe nafshi, and from here it's a very short derech to being completely mashbeh, that's what causes Mashberim, depression, that's when he starts falling apart and when things go hard, he can't manage and he can't deal with it. Of course not, because he's in the wrong world. He's a fish on dry land. He's supposed to be in the water, but he got jealous of the guys running around on dry land, so he hopped onto dry land. No wonder he's not being successful. Therefore, we have a very, very important sensor, Chayshan, in our system that tells us when we're out of touch with reality, and that's when you have feelings of jealousy. When you start feeling jealousy, when you start wanting what other people have, stop and ask yourself, what's going on here? It means I've lost my sense of who I am and what my unique mission in the world is. Jealousy now, instead of becoming a problem, becomes a very good barometer. Anxiety is a very good barometer of where you're holding in betochen. If betochen is about menuchah nefesh, so my menuchas ha-nefesh now becomes a barometer for where my betochen is and where I need to mechazek. If I'm still anxious and whatever, then I know, oh, good, anxious tells me that, so therefore my betochen, oh. Jealousy tells me what? I forgot what I'm living for. Go back and redefine. Regroup, reality check. Jealousy awakens a need, guilt as well. Guilt also does that. They're all very powerful, useful tools. So jealousy now can become a very powerful tool instead of being something that's going to destroy your life. You start feeling jealous, stop and say to yourself, one second, a reality check. Well, why do I want a Ferrari? Because I could sell it and pay off my debt. We should start this section again. I can't imagine anything more important that someone in this generation would need to know. Because jealousy today is something that's primed into the system. It's wired into your system in a way that was never wired in before. It's called advertising. The media is wired into your system, geared to create jealousy. You can't turn. Magelacha yoter, this, that, the best, the mufuaris, the. Just go look at the yoter, the Tuesday free yoter, if you want to. If you want to do that, go have a look just at the adverts for the holidays. Why did she like it? Just the way they describe it, the way they describe the food, the way they describe the. Well, who's not going to be jealous? You know, it's only 12,000 shekels a night, and those, you know, the poor guy can't afford it. And the person can't afford it, whatever. He's sitting there, he's getting jealous. He's kochim. He's kochim, because he can't go to Schweiz or Prague or wherever these places are.
Instead of getting jealous, would a person rationalize something and say, actually, I do need this, maybe? I need this to relax.
Once again, excellent question. The person has a mission statement. He knows clearly Machovosabaloma. He knows what he's doing. And understands that right now, in order to fulfill what he needs to do properly, he needs to sleep a certain amount of hours. He needs to eat a certain amount of healthy food. He needs to go for a walk on the beach a certain amount of time. His kids need it. Maybe he doesn't need it. It could be his wife needs it. He doesn't feel like going away to the Kinah for Shabbos. The Lord said, he can say, what I need it for. Maybe his wife needs it. Maybe he's got kids that need it. I've had a business to make cheshbon. I said, if you need, you might have to do that. What happens if you don't have the money, you can't afford it? Then you should go ask your Rebbe whether this is something that you really should be doing and try and work out why you don't have the money for it. Because I grew up in a home where they taught me that if you don't have the money, it's vice versa, you don't need it. Because if Hashem wanted, he'd give you the money, and then you would have it. My grandfather had a Meshuggah in his head to buy a Mercedes. That was his whole whatever. You know, he went from arriving in South Africa with £1 in his pocket. After a month, he sent it back to his parents because he'd made it back. And he worked like 24 hours a day trying to make a living or whatever. Eventually, he got to whatever, I don't know, 60 years old. And he had this dream. He wanted a Mercedes. And he saved. And he walked into the Mercedes dealer one day with a suitcase. He put on the table and he said, give me a Mercedes. If you did that today, you get arrested. In those days, you could still get away with it. But that was the way he lived. Because until I have the money, I don't need it. Now I've got the money, I want it, I'll go buy it. Now I'm not saying that was the right thing to do. It could be that he didn't need a Mercedes. He could have driven around in a Volkswagen and it would have been just as good. But he had his Meshuggahs, whatever. The person has to, you have to know yourself very well. You have to be ruthlessly honest with yourself. You have to know when to give yourself treats, when to give your... Avada, no problem with that at all. I have a video of Rav Chaim Kanievsky sitting on the beach recently. Not on the beach, on the promenade on the beach. On the broadwalk, yeah? Rav Chaim Kanievsky on the beach. Rav Lashem used to go to the beach. Rav Shach used to go to the beach. Gedolim used to go on holidays. You see, even more in Europe, the Dutchers and the spas, and Marienbad and all these places, the Gedolim used to go. Because why? Because they were just like, you know, they needed... No, because there was the cheshbon of, there was the avodas Hashem, they needed them. Avada. In fact, going the other way, Rebecca has a share on this, it's called resources. You know, one of the features of maturity is knowing how to use the world as a resource. A good example, we have mazganim today, air conditioners. So it's 40 degrees outside and the guy's sitting in his room schwitzing trying to learn and it's very hard for him. Then why do you switch on the mazgas? And you know how much it costs? Well, why do you think it's there? Why do you think Hashem gave you a mazgan? Put on the mazgan and learn properly. If you don't, you chayev. Just a simple example. Use the world as a resource. Children don't know how to do that. Adults need to know how to use the world in order to fulfill their purpose in the world. If you're going away for the weekend or you're going on holiday or you're going skiing in Switzerland, whatever... I'm not a tour guide, but whatever you feel you need in order to be able to fulfill your mission, handle your stress, whatever. You see these big CEOs of the big companies and whatever. They know how to manage their lives very well. They have the enormous stress, whatever. He's got a gym in his office, and he's got his personal trainer. He's got all these, you know, he's got his holiday home. He goes on holiday. He looks after himself. We have to do that as well. You have to be careful though, this is where you have to be ruthlessly honest. Am I going away because that's what I need in order to serve Hashem? Am I eating the steak now because I need to serve Hashem? It's very hard to do that. It's very hard to live your life where everything you're doing it, you know, you have a business account and you know you're doing this for the job, so therefore you put on the business account. And it's a mod cachet. You have to be honest with yourself. We're not holding there. We're not holding in the world of precious and of mispatic and mutes. But we have to try on our level not to do things that, you know, are just stump. Aval, a person has to use this world that's given to you. That's what it's there for. To be used properly. And if going on a holiday and being in a hotel or whatever, flying business class, if you're going on business, it might be a cheshbon that's what you should do. Why not? If you're going to get off the plane fresh, ready to go, boom, into work, and you can work better, then fly business class. You know, if you're going to crawl out of the sardine can and go back, you're going to take 2 days to recuperate. So then that becomes a business expense, if that's what it's about. It's not because you're sitting up front there because I need, you know, I'm kosher, but... So did you close the curtain, please? Guy comes to look for you for a minute, he's like, excuse me. You know, so then you should be sitting in business class, because what are you wasting that money for? But if I don't know, it's a resource, and it's going to enhance your mission, why don't you should do it? you understand what I'm saying, that it's a lot of shit pulling. You have to be honest, ruthlessly honest with yourself.
So advertising would be okay if all of us knew how to make those khajbonas on our own.
Advertising would be okay. What does that mean?
Meaning the advertising which is telling people, here's what's opportunity, you can relax, you can do all these things. For each person who would be thinking on his own and making the decisions.
Well, once again, I have to look at this newspaper and decide first of all, I'm going to look at it. When I pick up the Doritos packet, am I going to read what's on the packet? And if I am, how am I going to use that as a resource?
Right.
Fine. Yeah. But not everyone's an adult.
Right.
And not every adult is an adult. And not every, you know, and this advertising is usually, most of advertising is aimed at teenagers who don't function with their cycle. Who's out there buying all the stuff that people are making a lot of money out of? Teenagers. Who's buying all the fashions? Who's buying all the, right. You don't see 70-year-olds walking around, you know, the Canyon M, you know, looking into Fox or whatever else these other
pizzas. No, but I'm saying a lot of the advertising you find, let's say, plastered on the walls around towns here are for diapers and for air conditioners, which have nothing to do with teenagers.
The free world is slightly differently. Hopefully it'll be a little bit better than what's going on in the secular world. But don't be naive. Don't be naive. There's a lot of messages getting through to our little from kids today that are not the messages you want them to get, but that's what's happening. I'm honest. That's another discussion. That's another subject. I'm talking about using the resources that the world gives you in your unique world to do what you need to do in order to be able to function the best that you can function. You're going to live in a damp basement on onions and dry bread. See, if you can function at optimal performance, then you have no right to live anywhere else and eat anything more than that. But if you're going to, you know, become miserable and depressed, or you're going to feel like a hero or whatever else it's going to do, and you're not going to be able to function properly, well then maybe you should look for another dealer and maybe, you know, enrich your diet a bit. But I don't know. It's posh. 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 Fishes and all these kind of things are not shaped by things. You have to use the world properly. And you're going to make mistakes, obviously. There can be times where you fly business class where you could have got away with that, you know. You are going to get it wrong. You're going to have that extra piece of schnitzel at the wedding that you didn't really need in order to serve Hashem, but you didn't know it's taiva. We're human. We're going to make lots of mistakes along the way.
We need something to repent of.
I've told the story many times. Rebecca also brings it I think it's in this year as well, with Revolbi or of Scheinberg. We have a machloek because he told me Revolbi and then when I told him about it, he said it was Rav Scheinberg. We had a Nishka fella. I could have forgotten. It doesn't matter who the god was. We're sitting at a chasana away. And he was eating ice cream. Ice cream at a wedding. God was eating ice cream. It was pshat. So one of the Talmidim went up to ask him. That's a good Talmid, by the way. If he's eating ice cream, I found out what the pshat is. So he went to ask him. I don't understand. What's with the ice cream? You know? So he said to him, very good question, go bring me another two, one for yourself, and I'll tell you what it's about. So while he was nibbling on the second ice cream, he explained to him what the ice cream was for. He said, when I come to a chasana, I'm public property. When I'm at home, I'm in the yeshiva, you want to see me, now you've got to get through the gaboyim, but at a chasana, I'm public property. You know, anyone can come talk to me, anyone can ask me the shalas, can unload on me, can tell me their sorrows, can tell me their problem. But I'm in a wedding, I've got to be the simcha. So the ice cream helps me to maintain my simcha levels in the face of all the stress that's being loaded onto me. That's an autumn gobble. That's somebody who knows what ice cream's in the world for. It's not just there to, you know, tickle the taste buds in your, you know, the nerve endings on your tongue. That's not what it's there for. It's there to be used as a resource. And if you don't use it, you don't eat that second ice cream, and therefore your simcha levels for the chasen and kol aren't what they should be. You're chayev. But you hear what I'm saying? It takes a lot of maturity and a lot of knowing what your mission in the world is and what you're doing. I was at a chasen last night. Rabbi Yom and Reimer was there. Rabbi Lashev's younger son-in-law. The chosen was from Kiryas Melech, so Rabbi Yom came there, whatever. I've never seen anybody so simple and so relaxed. And he was there for a long time. You know, and the Rosh Hashanah came, he danced, and he sat there. He came just before the first dance ended. So he went, he sat on the Mizrach or whatever, and the Bochim from the Yeshiva coming up and talking to him. He wasn't alone for 1 second. I have never seen anybody so in touch with, I'm at a wedding, therefore I'm here to be Samach the Chosen Kala, and I'm being B'Samach, because it's my Talmud that's getting married, and yet everyone's coming and dumping all their problems in me or whatever. I have never seen it. I could have videoed it. It was such a lesson in just, I'm not, and I'm sure he would have much rather been in his room learning. was mit Otzu? But just like, and not putting it on. He wasn't faking a smile. He was just very, very happy. He wasn't eating ice cream. I wanted to ask him why not. I wanted to ask him.
I'm waiting.
Couldn't get near him.
He didn't need it.
So you don't eat it. He was about as simple as you can ever get. I've never seen anybody sober simple. He was just, even my son picked it up. My little Yuda, who, you know, a bit suspicious of these people. He said to me afterwards, he said, Simcha. I have to be a Simcha now. You know, it was done just completely, just, he decided there was going to a wedding, and this is what he was going to do, and he did it. Without any effort, without any, it was eye-catching, it was a mama stalking. And just normal, it was just, that's who he is. So once again, he had the ice cream. I don't know, maybe you would have to put it in for cheshbon. Why are you eating ice cream if you don't eat it? Now that's not my cheshbon. I had the ice cream. And I still couldn't smile, so it didn't make any difference.
Taking another one?
No, because I felt guilty because I really shouldn't be eating ice cream. It's not good for my sugar.
It's always telling you, don't be the simcha, right. Don't have the ice cream.
Yeah. So I ate the ice cream because I told myself, now I'll be more the simcha. And then I felt guilty afterwards because I really didn't know how to have that sugar. So then I went home.
Sounds small.
But your question is a very, very powerful question. And the answer to that question is, you know, if you have a mission statement, you know what you're trying to do, use the resources around you. You can ask David Friedlander when him and I go to New York fundraising. So it's fundraising in New York is like nowhere else in the world. It's mummish, it's head-wrenching. It's soul destroying. It's so hard. It is so hard. South Africa, it's like pleasant, it's nice. So America fundraising is just like, oh, you finish the day, you bedraggled. Honestly, you feel like, for Baruch Hashem, America has a lot of way to roots up your spirits, you know. There's the Coney Island Deli, and there's Mexican, and there's, you know. So we treat ourselves. It's Gecheshbon, it's not just I'm going in there and eating, you know, tibers or whatever. First of all, you're on the road like that, you have to be healthy. You know yourself, guys that travel on business, I don't have to tell you. Very easy to eat unhealthy and to get run down and get sick or whatever. In America, it's very hard not to eat healthy. But I'm just saying, you do. England, the food's not exactly. No one went to England for the food. You know, no, you can. When I'm in South Africa, I run around and I eat garbage. It's terrible. So when you get older, you learn. So it's a resource. Does every piece of that hot beef on rye, you know, part of what I need in order to serve a ship? Probably not. But Becker on, yeah. I'm at their fundraising. I need to be functioning properly. I need the strength. I need the emotional strength as well. It's a hard, difficult place to be working. So yeah.
Maybe I'll come with you next time.
With pleasure. It took us a while to find a place that really works for us. I don't go to the, you know, all you can eat for $10. And it's disgusting. But anyway, I'm just saying, you need to know what you need and you need to work on it. It's not labor the point. I see too much in the Torah world today that people don't understand this. They're working on precious and on holding back and all this frustration and all this negativity. It's not healthy. You have to teach that to the kids as well. Obviously not the same. They have to see it in us. If I don't need it, I don't need it. You know? We've got one more, I think one or two more nakudas of this. Okay. We've got one more chapter and then we've got what it is all about. Then we get to the end. The last chapter is usually something what it's all about.
Yeah.
We finish early.
Thank you. Have a good
Shabbat. That question's a whole shit. Was Hashem told that in the mission? He has the whole garden. Go eat from whatever tree you want, do what you want. He didn't mean just go guzzle yourself to do it. Work out what your mission is, have a look around, see what resources there are in the world, and use them. Why are they there otherwise? The Khankanievsky wouldn't put in air conditioner. In the old days, he wouldn't have air conditioner because he couldn't use it on because there's no generators, so Shabbos used to use batteries. Couldn't make him as he didn't want the week to be more chobotic, more pleasant than Shabbos. Imagine getting used to having air conditioner all week and Shabbos, you can't use the air conditioner, so he felt it would take away from his covered Shabbos. And after a while, somebody sneaked in and put an air conditioner into his house. He said, had he known how much better he learned with air conditioner, he would have got one years ago.
Really?
That's it. For him, an air conditioner's not about being hot or cold or is it a schmack or. But can I learn better?
No,
I'm not learning. So it means the air conditioner now becomes a resource. What about the costs? If it's part of your mission, then Hashem will give you the money because Hashem will give you what you need in order to fulfill your mission. Define business class what you're supposed to be doing now. Why are you worrying about the money? But you have to be, obviously. Anybody who flies a lot knows that what the gates are harder to go into business classes. So that's a bad example. The guys that fly just in order to get points so that they can. You buy 10 E-class tickets on the 1st of January.
Yeah.
And now you top platinum, so now the rest of the year you travel like a king. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about using everything as a resource. If you can function better, you can do your job much better because you're flying business class, you're high for singing economy class. Ah, but it's another $2,000. Who says I'm confused? I once met a very big gvir, big South African. He passed away, remarkably religious person. Crazy rich. And you would never have known. Old Yiddish or Jew, posh, silly old car, whatever. So I was flying once from South Africa to Israel on LL, and he's sitting two rows behind me in economy class. Him and his wife in the 2 seats, we're at 232. I'm on the aisle in 3, he's two rows back in the 2-2, him and his wife. Not the frumest guy in the world, but he started becoming Shema Shabbos late in life. His kids became frumbal. Shuvah, he's sitting with his Messiah Shalom. Have to learn Musa every day, Rabbi, he says to me. So, thanks, Sam. Anyway, so I said to him, he was a guy you could talk to, he was a schmucky guy. And he used to be a boxer as a kid. So he used his boxing talents to fight the anti-Semites.
Really?
You know, he used to go beat up the Lebanese guys and whatever, to fight with the Jews. That was his, obviously, Israel was amazing. I mean, he was covered with something else. Anyway, so I said to him, excuse me, his name was Sam Scher. Mr. Scher, I said, Mr. Scher, tell me something. What are you doing? Like, yeah, you know, he could buy the airplane. This guy, if he wanted, he could have bought a Dreamliner. I'm talking about a ludicrously wealthy guy. And all private. Nobody knew what he was worth because he didn't own anything. It was all private. He was not a public company. All private companies. He's one of the biggest generic medicine guys in the world. Anyway, so, because a lot of the young South African new money guys were sitting up front in business class, you know? So what do you do back here? Why aren't you in business class? He said, I'm prepared to be uncomfortable for 8 hours. Oh, well, yes, I'll be uncomfortable for 8 hours. Why waste the money? Why waste the money? I could use it for something else better. What do you mean by giving it to me? That's not this. I gave you this, you're very nice, don't push your luck.
$80.
No. Book Hashem, he was a very generous, big bald stocker. You go to the Chavir, Shmuel Albas, whole building, he bought. You go to Netzibot, you go all over the country, you'll see, you won't see his name anywhere. Make a little plaque, I think, by Shmuel there, but you won't see it on the building, you know. Just a little, on and off. All the Israel in the building we were in, he paid for that.
Really?
Yeah. Big donor. Big bald stocker, massive. But he tells me, so for him to sit in business class would be awesome. For him to take another $2,000 or $3,000 out of his pocket to sit in business class, also look over. For what he needs and for what he's doing and while he's traveling, I'm very happy to be uncomfortable for 8 hours, Baba. Yeah.
Well, only if you happen to take the business seat. If he was in a situation he needed.
No, if he felt that he would function better when he landed, and he would be able to work better, and he would be able to, or he needs to work on the plane. Some guys fly business class because they need to work on the plane. I need 10 hours straight. I can't work in economy. I need what I need. Fine, we'll sell it no more. Then that's a resource. Know how to use the world as a resource properly. If it's not a resource, don't enhance your avoidance of shame. Don't do it. I'm talking about the ideal now. Let's just get clear. We're working on ideal. There's that whole range between real and ideal where you're gonna make a lot of mistakes. Like, you are going to have the extra piece of shit so that you don't need, you're not really using it. We're not on that level anymore, that's what I'm saying. You have to be careful. Could be the first ice cream was being used as a resource. The second ice cream was stumped over. But said, mark that down for further attention. I wouldn't jump off a building because of that today. You have to know yourself. You have to know what are you... Most of us are not walking around with so much money around, you know, like to waste, where we can just shrug our business class. I shouldn't. Well, I could use the $3,000 for something else. I don't have the $3,000 for something else. My question is, am I allowed to borrow in order to, you know what I'm saying? So obviously, it's not actually, you have to find in your world where your ikan is so inherent. That's why I'm using examples that are not really kosher to anybody yet. flying business class or not yet. Well, maybe you go on business, whatever, maybe a track.
I'm happy with EasyJet. No. Amateur. I do get extra legroom with EasyJet sometimes.
I worked out how when I'm flying from Canada to New York to get the extra seat without paying anything. So that I'll use. That's a resource. That's for sure meant to be. No, there's a reason for it. You get off the plane first. Yeah. You get your baggage first. You're in and out of LaGuardia in 20 minutes as opposed to like 2 hours.
I'm saying, it's like being in this world. You go on your trips. You've got a week. You have to do.
That's what I'm saying.
If it makes it, when
I fly, for example, when I fly to Canada, I would never fly business class. Because I know I get there 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm not going to work that day. I'm going to dove in my room. I'm going to sleep. And tomorrow morning, I wake up, I'm fresh. But if I'm arriving at 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning and I have that whole day of work and I'm only there for 4 days, it becomes a cash burn. I've never done it. I've never paid for it. I've been bumped up a few times, but I've never paid for it. So I don't feel that it's going to change my life that much. I'm going to be a schmutty either way. So then it's not. So I have a tiger, but I don't have the money for the tiger to really, you know, so if I had the money, I probably would take the tiger. And it wouldn't be a resource. I would just do it because I could afford it, so why not? That's not what I'm talking about. Make me a real cash burn. It's easy for me not to fly business class because how am I going to pay for it? The money. Put in your credit card. Well, my credit card says you've reached your limit. You know, it's like, well, that's why I'm using this stuff as an example. It's not relevant. Unless you fly a lot and you've got points and whatever. But then who says you should? Whatever. I don't know.
Well, yeah, it's a more simple thing. You want a bar of chocolate? There's a three-shot bar of chocolate. There's a 10-shot bar of chocolate.
Which one is going to enable you to function better after you've had the chocolate? Could be you just having a chocolate as tiger, then it doesn't really make a difference which one you eat. If at the end of the day the 3 shekel chocolate, the 10 shekel chocolate is going to leave you just sugared and carbohydrated out, that doesn't make no difference to how you're going to serve Hashem or do your job afterwards. Lo mashane what you eat, because it's got nothing to do with your mission statement or being used as a resource. It's some tiger. But if yes, the 10 shekel chocolate is so much better than the 3 shekel chocolate, and you'll have more kosher to Hashem, and you'll have more simchas achaim, you'll be able to work better. I don't mean it's a shame, you'll be able to fill in your tax returns better or whatever, then for sure why not to have it? But it's got to be a very ruthlessly honest cashbook. And I'm saying we're not attuned to make those in all areas of our lives, those ruthlessly honest cashbooks. Someone puts a juicy, beautiful piece of ice cream in front of you. And it's a hechsher, that's not a, but it's actually you don't normally eat. Do you eat it or not? So it depends. Depends where the nisoyin is. Depends, you know. If ice cream is not your thing, so I put a nice juicy steak. Well, everyone's got his price. Depends what your, where's your nisoyin. For some people, the ice cream is, listen, ice cream's not a big deal anyway. Gives me a headache. Who needs it? So you can put whatever ice cream on in front of me. It's a local kach nisoyin. I'll taste a bit, cause whatever. But if that's your thing, that's your drug of choice, so now you're in the bull ring. That's the whole point we've been learning. This is you in your world or whatever you have to know. And stay normal through all of this. You have to be normal also. Sit there for 15 minutes looking at the ice cream and your wife says, what are you doing? Well, I'm not sure. Eat the ice cream and go home. Or don't you? What are you saying? It's got to be normal as well. But Bobby wasn't sitting there like eating this ice cream because you're going to avoid this Hashem, I'm going to eat the ice cream. No, he made a decision that what I need right now is ice cream. So he ate the ice cream and enjoyed it like a piece of ice cream. He wasn't sitting there like hitting him muchen and mazumen, you know, kavanas. Just enjoying the ice cream.
Pitching himself while he's eating
it. No, he made a decision that he needed an ice cream. He had an ice cream. Just normal, wasn't it? But he didn't just eat the ice cream because, hey, you know, I'm not eating ice cream, I'm all sick of it. And a cheshbon, why 2,000? You chose 2,000. You chose 8,000. The Haredi world's being taught to run away from the physical world. Avoid it wherever you can. That creates tension and pressure which not everybody can handle. We're not the Bale Musa, the pre-European war Bale Musa, where the average millionaire lived worse than we live. The average millionaire in pre-war Europe had nothing like I've got in my home today. Nothing. The richest guy in town lived much more simply than I live today. He had air conditioning, electric lights, tiled floors, nice kitchen, stoves, fridges. What talking about? They didn't have any water. He used to go to the bathroom in the outhouse like everybody else. maybe he had some servants who, you know, like, you know, lit his lamps for him and cleaned the lamps. He didn't have to do it himself. But you know, they lived. So it's a whole new sign of bespak with paniut and all these sugars wasn't any sign for them. The only sign is we're drowning in gushness. We're up to our eyeballs in physicality. You have to have leather seats in your car. You have to have leather seats today. You know? That's one of the leather seats, air conditioning, you know. Maftaya chacham, you need a smart key now. Give me a friend. My nephew, you remember? I don't know if you guys remember. No, he's from the old yeshiva. I have a nephew who was filming off the derech, whatever, got very anti-Yiddish guard. Anyway, he lives in San Diego now. He just got a Tesla car. So his sister just came to visit us now. She's telling us about this car. You know? When you want to go out, you push a button, the thing opens the garage, reverses out and parks in front. So you don't have to walk to the garage and has to open the garage yourself. The car does it for you. And he can't live without it anymore. He's got so used to it now that he doesn't know how to open the garage door. That's the problem. You don't need that. Why are you wasting all that? That's not a resource. You're not going to function better because of that. You're just going to be more of a Balgava while you're driving down Wilshire Boulevard.
What would be the reason that would be?
In my world, I can't think of an example, but work it out.
It's a self-driving car, so but you could say, okay, I can do work while I'm going to work. I can make full of my tefillin while I'm going to work.
Look at the girls on the beach without driving into lampposts. Well, now you have to, every 3 minutes you have to touch the wheel. What they do is they tie a little weight onto the steering wheel.
No, they'll have a listida. Kiss the tefillin, kiss the, touch the thing.
We've got a very difficult Rashi to learn. Let's go get busy. We're going to start Shia now.
Go ahead.
Find out from the rest of the guards what they want to do. The point of